From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Yes, it is about that time, ladies and gents. 1 o'clock has rolled around. Welcome to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Well, Richard Sherman has apologized. And you know what? I beg to ask the question, for what? Why has Richard Sherman apologized? I'm confused on this. Now, this is Richard's apology that he's issued. He said, quote, "I apologize for attacking an individual and taking the attention away from the fantastic game by my teammates. That was not my intent." Now, that was in a text yesterday to ESPN's Ed Werder. Now, he went on to say, "Obviously, I could have worded things better and could obviously have had a better reaction and done things differently, but it is what it is now, and people's reactions are what they are." Now, for those of you who have lived under a rock these past 2 days, if you don't know, Richard Sherman has gotten a lot of publicity, and I'm talking about a ton of publicity. I was sitting back, you know, my TV just happened to be on Inside Edition. Entertainment Tonight came on as well, CNN. I mean, I could go on and on and on. And everyone was playing the bite from Richard Sherman right after the infamous play where, you know, he came up with the miraculous block going against receiver Michael Crabtree. Great, unbelievable deflection into the grasp of Seahawks linebacker Malcolm Smith, sealing the 23-17 win over the visiting 49ers. So after that moment, Richard goes over to Crabtree, you know, pats him and says, "Hey, brother, I got you," for lack of better terms. And he goes over to Aaron Andrews, sideline analyst for Fox Sports, and has this to say.
"Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get. Don't you ever talk about me."
"Who was talking about you?"
"Crabtree, don't you open your mouth about the best. Or I'm going to shut it for you real quick. L.O.B."
Okay, you know what? That rant right there reminds me, if I could just go back in time really quick. Let's go back in sports history, folks. And do you remember this?
"I don't like fighters who talk too much."
"Well, Henry Cooper's nothing but a tramp. He's a bum. I'm the world's greatest. He must fall in 5 rounds, but if you talk about me, I'll cut it 3. I'll never fight another fella as tough as Doug Jones, not even that big ugly bear Sonny Liston."
"Is he your next fight?"
"Well, after I annihilate this Henry Cooper, I want that bear.
And what's going to happen to him?"
"I want him bad."
"What's going to happen to him?"
"He might be great, but he'll fall in 8. I'm the prettiest fight in the ring today. That's my label."
"Shut up, man. You shut up. You're shut up. I want you quiet."
"I'm too fast."
"You're saying about 1-5.
Round 5. No special training. Just be at the fight. I'm ready to back up everything I'm saying. And I'm through talking."
"Is this
the man to beat me? He haven't been born yet." "Well, I'll tell Henry Cooper, if he's watching this show, to come to the fight and be ready to fight. Because I'm coming to get you. I'm coming to London to get you. And after I'm through beating him, I think he'll have to join the Beatles and be a singer."
"This will be Buster's last stand."
So, yeah, that's Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali, one of the most revered sports icons in sports history. If you compare what Richard Sherman said to what you just heard from Muhammad Ali, really, is there much of a difference there? I mean, come on. In my opinion, I think what Ali said is worse. But hey, we're going to spark the discussion here, and I want to prompt all of you out there listening, because I need to get this off my chest, because hearing the reports, I mean, and hearing the opinions of so many out there that are out there criticizing Richard Sherman and his tirade, if you will, after that game is truly upsetting, and those who are have really no validation to back up their claims. And that's my honest-to-God truth here. That's my honest-to-God opinion. If you disagree with me, call in and we'll talk about it. 517-355-9527. Again, that number is 517-355-9527, because I find it utterly disturbing and ridiculous to look at the backlash that Sherman has gotten these past few days for that interview. Upsetting stuff. But hey, if you disagree with me, hey, let's go at it. Give me a call. All right. Well, we have a ton to get to on today's show. In just a moment, I will be talking with the head coach of a basketball team that's making quite the buzz around mid-Michigan, the head boys basketball coach over at Powamo, Westphalia, Luke Pohl. Yes, Luke will be joining me in a minute to talk about the incredible season his team is having. Later on, of course, we'll be talking about the Sherman interview. We'll also be talking about the Kobe. I don't know if you heard Kobe Bryant's comments concerning the league today. Now, if you remember, if you look at last week, Matt, Alex, and I went at it about, is our sports becoming too soft? Well, Kobe Bryant agrees with me on this one, okay? So we'll dive into that one and also talk about, yes, my team, the Pistons, who are just, oh, I'm hurting right now. I am hurt. I am really hurting right now. We'll talk about them and so much more. A great show in store for you. But before we get to all of that, as custom here on the show, let's get to your current sports quick hit headliners for this January 21st, 2014. All right, the Lions will hire Saints quarterbacks coach Joe Lombardi as offensive coordinator. Lombardi, grandson of Hall of Fame coach Vince Lombardi, emerged as the favorite among numerous candidates for the job since Jim Caldwell was hired last week as coach. The Lions were finalizing a contract with Lombardi on Tuesday morning. So this morning, folks, Lombardi spent the past seven seasons as an offensive assistant with the Saints, who promoted him to quarterbacks coach back in 2009. All right, a day after a painful 23-17 loss at Seattle, the San Francisco 49ers got some clarity on injuries to two key players. Linebacker Navarro Bowman has a torn MCL in addition to a torn ACL in his left knee. The early indication Sunday that Bowman suffered a torn ACL. Also, a source confirmed that guard Mike Iapati broke his fibula in the game. The initial thought by the team was that he fractured his ankle. And yes, the Pistons.
Rebound saved nicely by Griffin.
And good defense by the Clippers there.
Jordan behind the back lays it in with a monster slam dunk.
Yes, in a thrilling MLK matchup featuring DeAndre Jordan and Andre Drummond, the Clippers just, they beat the Pistons in dominating fashion. DeAndre Jordan had a high, I mean, unbelievable. He was unbelievable yesterday, folks. Four high-flying dunks in the first quarter alone to go along with 16 points and 21 rebounds. 21 rebounds, folks. Rodney Stuckey led the Pistons with 29.
Crackle wins the faceoff back to Petrangelo for Bollmeister. And his wrist shot. And he scores! A weird one by Bollmeister. It may have been off a blue in front Crackle. I'm not sure. And it's 4-1.
Yes, and the Red Wings were smoked by their rival, the St. Louis Blues, with a score of 4-1. Your final Red Wing goalie, Jimmy Howard. He left in the second period with a knee injury at the 10:44 mark. The Blues snapped their two-game losing streak with the win. So both the Wings and the Pistons are just hurting right now, folks. Nebraska students and fans rushed the court yesterday in their upset win over Ohio State. Men's basketball, 68-62, your final in that one. The Cornhuskers are now 8-1 at their new home. Big win for them. All right. Big East newcomer Creighton showed that they have more than just Doug McDermott in a huge 96-68 beatdown of number 5 Villanova. Ethan Rage, he hit his first 7 three-pointers, folks, and went 9-for-14 overall to finish with 27 points and lead the Blue Jays to their biggest win of the season. The 9-3s tied Kyle Korver's school record. Now, in all, Creighton hit a whopping, get this, 21 threes, shooting 60% from distance. So it's not like they were just jacking up anything. They were very accurate from the three-point line. Villanova had no answers, falling behind 21-5 early and never really getting back in the game. All right, MSU, they have a big one tonight, folks. MSU hosts Indiana tonight at 7 p.m. at the Breslin Center. While the Spartans handled Indiana on the road on January 4th, they'll likely be without big man AP, Adrian Payne, who is still nursing a strained right foot. Now, tonight's game will make it the fourth consecutive contest without Payne, who is averaging 16 points and 7 boards on the season. Tom Crean's Hoosiers are looking to bounce back from an ugly loss to Northwestern last weekend. In the world of the Australian Open, folks, Novak Novak Djokovic bid to win four consecutive Aussie Opens has come to an end, as Stanislav Wawrinka bested him 2-6, 6-4, 6-2, 3-6, and 9-7 in the quarterfinals. Djokovic had previously made 14 consecutive semifinals and Grand Slam events and was a heavy favorite to win the Australian Open. It's Wawrinka's biggest win of his career, and he now has a good chance as anyone to win the Grand Slam title. And also, folks, the new rankings for boys and girls high school hoops have come out. And just to note a few of them, looking at Class A, just going at the top five here. In Class A, you have Detroit Pershing. Muskegon is number two. Saginaw Arthur Hill. Holland and Detroit UAD Jesuit. In Class B, you have Jackson, Lumen, Christie. How about that? A local team leading as the top school in Class B high school boys high school hoops. You have Wyoming Goodwin Heights, Grand Rapids South Christian, Millington, and Detroit Douglas rounding out the top five there. In Class C, Mount Clemens, Detroit Consortium, Shelby, Boyne City, and New Guinea. And get this, we got another local flavor there. Number nine, you have Pawamo Westphalia. Yes, Luke Pohl is certainly doing his thing there. And in Class D, top five there, Southfield Christian, Powers North Central, Allen Park, Inner City Baptist, Bel Air, and Cedarville. Just really quickly looking at girls, the new girls basketball rankings have come out as well. In Class A, you have Bloomfield Hills Marion, Detroit Martin Luther King, Grosse Pointe South, DeWitt, and number five, Midland. Class B, Goodrich, Grand Rapids South Christian, Flint Powers Catholic, and Detroit Country Day. And also number five, Midland Bullet Creek. Class C, Reese, Hemlock, Niles, Bradywine, Michigan Center, and Sandusky. And finally in Class D, Crystal Falls Forest Park. Never heard of that school. It's number one, Posen, Frankfort, Athens, and Eben Junction Superior Central. That rounds out your top five there. So those are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and share your thoughts on any of those, you can call us at 517-355-9527 and share what's on your noggin. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and even tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. And speaking of the Class C ninth-ranked Pawamo Westphalia boys basketball team, they are currently 6-1 overall, undefeated at 4-0 in the CMAC. It's my pleasure to welcome PW head boys basketball coach Luke Pohl to Current Sports for the first time. Luke, this is your first time over the show. Long overdue, brother.
Well, thank you, Al. I'm glad you're having us on.
Definitely. Well, I got to ask you, Luke. Now, you all have only one loss in a year. Now, if I would have told you that on January 21st, sitting here with me, you will be a guest here on the show and only have one blemish on that PW record, would you have believed me?
I would hope I would have. I think we have a pretty good group coming back from last year, and we've got some real veterans. I knew our schedule to this point was going to be pretty difficult, so I'm really happy where we're at right now.
Now, something rather unique about this team is the E word, experience, Luke. You guys have nine seniors, two juniors. I mean, talk about how valuable that is and how valuable that experience has been to you all so far this season.
Well, you just can't really put a price on what it means to have experience, especially when they're seniors, because they've played so much basketball at this point, and they also know that the season's going quickly in the regular season of their final year in high school, and that means a lot to them. But there's no doubt the experience that we've had this year with the kids we've had returning has made a big difference.
What kids specifically have emerged as standout leaders for your team, Luke?
Well, we're starting five seniors, and two of them have been up since their freshman season. That's Nick Spitzley and Lane Simmon, who have been our leaders. But, my other three seniors starting have gotten better every ball game. Evan Fedewa is one, Kyle Nurnberg is the other, and Adam Wesley is another one. And what they've done really well this year is they've accepted their roles, where all those kids have the capability of scoring and shooting, but they've accepted different roles so that we could be more successful, and I think so far it's working.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just now joining us here on Current Sports, we are talking with the head boys basketball coach of Pauwama, Westphalia. His team is currently 6-1 overall, undefeated in the CMAC Conference at 4-0, Luke Pohl. Luke, now you all are coming off a big, big victory against defending Class C runner-up Laingsburg, 50-35, the final of that one last Thursday. Now, Lane Simon was scorching hot, 16 of his game-high 18 points in the first 10 minutes. Was he just in one of those zones?
Yeah, you probably could say he was. You know, he was shooting the ball real well. You know, he's a guy with a lot of talent, a lot of natural ability. And, you know, believe it or not, Al, he's actually been playing on a little bit of a gimpy ankle.
Really?
Yeah. He just saw the sports medicine people over there at MSU on Friday for it, because it's been bothering him through football and through basketball. And he just told me yesterday in practice it's the best he's ever felt with it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he'll be able to do a little bit more off that ankle. He's been playing in some pain, but there's no doubt he had a tremendous game against Laingsburg, and it made a difference in our success that night.
You know, you Luke, being the head coach of this team, and, you know, I kind of, you know, look at this, it's kind of ironic because Tom Izzo's dealing with a guy like Adrian Payne, who's an integral part of this team, who's dealing with a sprained foot, and you have Lane dealing with his ankle injury. You as a coach, I mean, how do you go about, you know, do you limit his minutes when he's out there playing? I mean, how do you manage and make sure he's healthy when he goes out there and that you're not exhausting his playing time?
Well, it's amazing you even asked me that, because so many thoughts have gone through my head since the season started, because I did limit him a little bit in the beginning, and then over Christmas I gave him 10 days off and put him in a boot, and you know, that didn't really make as much of a difference as I thought it would. And I was getting to the point where I was thinking about letting him sit out for a month, or maybe even not have him practice between games. But even then, you know, the ankle really wasn't getting much better, and so I called his dad and I suggested that we take him to Sports Med, because I think those guys have always done a really good job there. And one of my former players, Jeff Cook, suggested the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
He's a physical therapist. And it looks like it's really going to pay dividends for us. And I like to be able to see a senior be able to go through his senior season and, you know, play without pain and really enjoy it. And I hope that happens with Lane.
Yeah, definitely. He's definitely an outstanding young man, an outstanding player for you. Now, Luke, when you guys have the success that you all are having so far, how do you keep your players' heads out of the sky, humble, and ready for the next game? Is that hard? I'm pretty sure, you know, with a senior latent team like the team you have, it's not big of that much big of a challenge, is it?
You know, probably not as much as it used to be for me and some of my earlier years as a coach. I was always so concerned about that, but you know, I just try to be truthful with them, and you know, I mean, the old cliche, any team on any given night kind of thing, but and it is certainly true, but I think my guys really understand the big picture, and they know that they've got to come out and they've got to play their butt off. And that's something that they can control. There's other things they might not be able to. But I think if we come out and we play really hard and play with the rules we have defensively, you know, we can play with a lot of different teams.
If there is any chink in the armor, if you will, Luke, I mean, what is it for your team? What do you guys have to improve on as the season moves on?
You know, the thing is I think, especially in the past week in our games against Saranac and Laingsburg, I thought we came a long ways defensively. You know, I think we do a great job getting to the midline and being able to defend driving action from other players, which has given us some trouble in the past. I think the one thing is it's just going to depend on if we run into teams that are real physical.
Mm-hmm.
And the game is allowed to be played like that. I don't know how physical we can possibly be, and if that might give us some trouble. And then the other thing I would like to see us do more is take more charges.
Mm-hmm.
We're working on that. We've got some kids that are starting to step in, but I think that will be huge as the season progresses.
Luke, I got to ask you, with the new rankings that have come out, you guys are ranked number 9 in the state in Class C boys basketball. Do rankings mean anything to you?
Well, you know, the thing is as a coach, thinking about your players and things that kids can cut out and save them for their scrapbooks into the future and show their children these things, I would like to see, you know, I appreciate our team being in those kind of things just from that perspective, but does it mean anything? No, not really. Because I look at those rankings and I know some of those teams that we see during the summer and that we've played and have had some success with, and that's kind of how I try to measure ourselves up. But it's just fun. I mean, who that does the rankings has ever seen us play?
Right, right. Gotcha. I hear you on that. You know something, Luke, you know, something I brought up to you when I was at Channel 6 as a reporter over there, when I made you were one of my first team of the weeks last season. And, you know, Luke, you know, covering your games last season, something that's so evident, it's something I've said about Steve Finnemore as well. I mean, you know, I've seen some pretty fiery coaches. You're definitely, you know, among the top that I've seen. You know, you're on the sideline, you're going off sometimes. I've seen you turn red sometimes. The intensity of Luke Pohl, where does that competitive drive come from?
You know, I really wish I could calm that monster down sometimes.
I love it, though. Luke is great. It's the essence of the game, man.
Well, you know, I mean, there's no doubt about it. Sports have always been something special for me, and I especially look at basketball and the tournament, and there's no doubt about it. I really get into it, but I really try to tone it down, and I think I have as the years have gone by. But where does that intensity come from? I don't know. I guess I've always been like that ever since I was probably born.
I love it, Luke. Now, you know, going beyond the game of basketball, what do you try to teach these kids about the game of life, Luke?
Well, you know, there really is a lot to be said for that. You know, I give them a number of different speeches. Some of them may be a little comical, and they might kind of laugh and stuff about them, but there's always some seriousness to it. The one big thing that I try to get across to people is to those who have much, much is expected. And I would hope that they can go on from here and look at people that are at a disadvantage and try to pick them up and just try to be nice, pleasant young men to everybody that they meet and try to make everybody feel comfortable and go on to be great husbands and parents of children and just good people in the community. And I've coached long enough now where I've got a lot of people out there. In fact, I've got players now that I've had their dads on my team, and I see how some of those people have turned out, and I'm really pleased with where they're at in their stage of their life.
Wow, that's got to be a special, special feeling. Before I let you go, Luke, I want to quickly hit on something that, you know, I had a conversation with you know, one of my colleagues last week about this. Actually, during the I was out at the Holt and Okemos boys basketball game, and I want to get your take on this from a coaching perspective, Luke, because, you know, for me, watching a basketball game, a high school boys basketball game, or basketball game in general. It bothers me when teams try to play the keep away game, if you will, when they have a lead. And I've always been an advocate that high school basketball needs a shot clock. What do you think about that? Does the high school game need a shot clock?
Well, you know, I would like to see a shot clock, just from the standpoint that I think it would reward the defense. It would give the kids more of an incentive. And obviously it would change the strategy at the end of a game. I think it would make the games much more exciting towards the end. And the other thing it would do is it would keep teams from just having to foul at the end of a ball game as a strategy. I don't like that part of the game. I know it's the way you got to play it because you don't have a lot of other choices, but, I could probably talk to you quite a bit on some of the rule changes they might be able to make if they don't have a shot clock to make it so that people have to continue to play rather than just foul.
Exactly.
Or and have other teams, you know, other teams play keep away until somebody's got a foul. And that makes the game take so long.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I just don't think it's good for the game, but it's the way the game's always been played. And unless we get a shot clock or make some other rule changes, I think that's the way it's going to be in high school.
And I'm pretty sure, Luke, you've been coaching for a long time, and I'm pretty sure you've been burned a few times probably from the whole keep-away angle of that game. I mean, how frustrating is that? It's got to be so frustrating as a coach.
Well, there's no doubt about it. It really is. It's you don't like to get it going to the fourth quarter, and especially when you're behind and you're starting to see that there's only 4 or 5 minutes on the clock, and you're thinking, oh, no. It's coming pretty soon. We better hurry up and get a lead here.
Right, exactly.
But there's no doubt about it. There's many times I would like to see a shot clock, but that's because it's not my favor. And there's a lot of times I'm glad there isn't.
Right. I hear you on that, Luke. All right, Luke, I'm going to get you out of here real quick. We're debating later on today's show, though. I'm sure you're a big advocate for the game of basketball. Of course, you coach it, for goodness sake. Now, I want to get your thoughts on this because we've also debated this on the show. Now, I don't know if you know what Kobe Bryant released a quote, if you will, talking about today's game, specifically just the NBA here. And he says that today's game is more of a finesse game. It's more small ball, which personally, this is coming from Kobe, which I personally don't care for much. I like the kind of smash mouth old school basketball because that's what I grew up watching. I also think it's much, much less physical. Some of the flagrant fouls that I see caught nowadays, it makes me nauseous. And you can't touch a guy without it being called a flagrant foul. Luke, real bluntly here, has the game of basketball become soft over the years?
As far as high school, college, or pro, which one are you asking me?
All three of them.
You know, the thing is I think if I look back into the 70s and stuff where there certainly was very little contact and you didn't have to be a weightlifter to play the game, I would say back then, you know, it was much more of a finesse game. And I think we went through a period of time with the Bad Boys, with the Pistons.
Yeah.
Where everybody felt that, hey, now we got to be physical and we got to foul, and anybody that goes to the rim, we just grab and we shove, and you know, and then we commit that flagrant foul. I still think the game probably off the ball is too physical.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like some of the interpretations that officials will make on people shooting the ball right now, where they tell me that, well, if the ball goes in, I don't call the foul. If the ball doesn't go in, I do call the foul.
Yeah, that's, yeah, I don't like that
kind
either.
Of thing. I don't think that's right, but I still think the game is very physical off the ball. I think they're trying to clean it up a little bit on the ball, and they're trying to do that in college.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, Al, we're going to disagree on this, but I mm-hmm. still think the game is too physical.
Do you?
I think yes. And you know, every coach coaches to the rules.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that in the NBA, whether it be NBA, college, or high school, especially off the ball and stuff, that it still should be a finesse game where the beauty of the game is people making plays and stuff rather than them having to be extremely strong physically to be able to make those kind of plays.
Gotcha. I certainly hear you on that. All right, Luke, who do you got coming up tomorrow, and how have you been preparing for them?
Well, we've got Fulton Middleton up there, you know, and they're a very solid team. They've got a lot of kids back from last year, very talented group, and we've been getting ready for them the last couple days here. Hopefully we can come up, go up there and give a great effort.
Definitely. We'll certainly look forward to that one. All right, there you have it. Head boys basketball coach of the Pomona Westphalia Pirates, Luke Pohl. Luke, thanks so much. We got to have you on soon.
Okay, thanks, Al. Have a good day.
You too. Take care. All right, well, let's take a quick break. When we return, we're going to talk about the Richard Sherman postgame tirade after the Seahawks beat the 49ers on Sunday. Now, there have been many people criticizing Sherman for the interview, some even going as far as calling the man a villain. You got to be kidding me. Are you kidding me? Yeah. Okay. What are your thoughts on it? Give us a call. 517-355-9527. You better believe I had some strong thoughts on this one. Current Sports returns in just a sec.
I'm Robin Young. Next time on Here and Now.
And I am telling you.
And she hasn't gone away. 30 years after wowing the world with this song, Jennifer Holliday has a new album. Next time on Here and Now from NPR and WBUR Boston.
That's Here and Now, coming up at 2 o'clock.
Hi, I'm WKAR radio station manager Peter Wharf. WKAR is your hometown station for mid-Michigan news, people, and places. And if there's a story you think we should be covering, an issue we should discuss, or a person to pay attention to, we'd like you to tell us. Find us at currentstate@wkar.org, on Twitter at @KARCurrentState, and on Facebook. Around mid-Michigan and across the state, the WKAR network is here for you on 90.5 FM, AM 870, and WKAR.org.
Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Just finished talking with Luke Pope, head boys basketball coach of the PW Pirates. They are certainly rolling. They are number one in the CMAC conference and have a game tomorrow against Fulton. That should be a good one. I'm sure many people will be going out to that one. All right, well, let's shift gears really quick. Alex Sharg now joins me, and we're going to dive into the whole Richard Sherman apology and the whole tirade. The whole interview with Aaron Andrews after the Seahawks knocked off the 49ers. If you didn't hear it, one more time, Aaron, can we get that one more time, man? Because I saw nothing wrong with what Richard Sherman said. Now, Alex, you have a different view on it. But let's go to that bite one more time.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get. Don't you ever talk about me.
Who was talking about you?
Crabtree, don't you open your mouth about the best. Or I'm going to shut it for you real quick. L.O.B.
L.O.B., baby. I love it, you know?
Why don't you just hop on the Seattle bandwagon now while you can?
I'm not hopping on the Seattle bandwagon. Now, I do think Seattle's going to win the whole thing. I predicted that at the beginning of the season. I think Seattle's going to win the Super Bowl. But just looking at, let's focus on that moment.
Okay.
Richard Sherman, let's put it in context really quick. Richard Sherman, who I think is the best corner in the league. I do think he's the best corner in the league. He's unbelievable. But anyway, Sherman, you know, the 49ers are driving down the field. Colin Kaepernick is doing a great job of orchestrating a drive, putting a drive together with his arm, too. I mean, doing a great job at it. They get all the way down the field close to the red zone, threatening to take the lead. And Richard Sherman plays unbelievable defense on Michael Crabtree, is able to twist his body around to come up with the tip that eventually led to an interception to seal the deal, seal the win for the Seattle Seahawks. Not just any win, Alex. Sealing the win to go to the Super Bowl.
Undeniably, it was a
great
play.
The Super Bowl. I'm putting that into context. This is the soup. This is it. There's no bigger game than the Super Bowl. And Richard Sherman comes up with a huge play to seal it for him. Now, yesterday, as we discussed on the show, and Matt brought this up, Michael Crabtree and Richard Sherman have been beefing all season, going, you know, back and forth with each other. And it all culminates to this moment where the game is on the line, ironically, and Sherman comes up with that huge play. If I'm Richard Sherman, I probably would have did the same thing. I probably would have walked up to Crabtree and said, "What's up, man? I got you." And, you know, Crabtree was a little salty about it and pushed him in the face mask, gets the penalty. But, hey, and goes, you know, and I'm just putting that moment into context because it bothers me to see the reaction from media members and from fans alike who are criticizing Richard Sherman for what he said in the post-game interview with Aaron Andrews. Now, this interview took place literally about 2 to 3 minutes after the big tip was made, after that play was made. Sherman's adrenaline is going through the roof. He just sealed a Super Bowl trip for the Seattle Seahawks with one unbelievable play. His adrenaline's pumping, and he's speaking his mind. What is wrong with that? Go ahead, Al.
Okay.
I'll let you go ahead.
Sure,
first.
Sure, sure. Now, first of all, I think we should start with a villain. What is exactly a villain? Is it somebody who is an instigator? Is it someone who is a dirty player? What is a villain, first off, in your eyes?
When I define villain, and you talk about sports, I define somebody who, first off, to be a villain, fans don't like you. I mean, the general public, those who watch and are ambassadors for the game and watch the game, whatever game that may be, they don't like you. You turn into a villain automatically.
Sure, sure.
For whatever reason they don't like you, that varies from athlete to athlete. A villain for me is when fans don't like you. The public doesn't like you.
Okay.
For whatever reason. That's what a villain
is. So if a villain is when the public doesn't like you, and that may include players. There may be players that do not like him either.
Right, that's
correct?
True. Granted.
So
yeah.
I have no problem with him being excited after the big play. You're right. It was undeniably the biggest game for the Super Bowl, probably the biggest play of his career.
It's the biggest play of his life.
Right. Now, what I do have a problem with, Al, is there's no reason why he should be, instead of describing to Aaron Andrews what happened on that play, there's no reason that after making such a big play that he needs to be talking about Michael Crabtree. That's what I have a problem with, okay? Now, I don't think he's a villain, like, in that circumstance, but there's no reason why he needs to trash talk another player, regardless of the situation.
First of all, I love trash talking in sports. You know me.
It happens on the field all the time.
I love it. It happens all the time.
I know you did back
in
Annapolis.
I used to trash talk back. Oh, man. I still do, probably, when I go to IM West. I have the biggest mouth on the court. I'm trying to get in you. I mean, Jordan was the same way. Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, you know, Reggie Miller. I mean, there were a lot of greats. I mean, Game of Football, Lawrence Taylor, LT was a big trash talker. I mean, there's so many greats that are trash. That's a part of the game. Him, he's in his emotions after the game, and he makes a play on the guy he's been talking trash to the entire season. What is wrong with that?
Al.
He's speaking off emotion.
The game was over. It was after the
game. I know that, but
it's
2 minutes. Yeah, 2 minutes later.
It's like going to the locker room and hearing Chad Johnson.
And you know what? You know who I really, really fall on this whole crap? The media. The media. Because the media has blown this up to astronomical proportions, blown it totally out of context, and making it something that it's not. Now, Richard Sherman, in my opinion, did not need to come out and issue this apology, the text to Ed Werder and the statements he made on the radio show the day after. He didn't need to do that. Not at all. Because he's speaking on emotion. It's moments right after the game. I hate how the media expects athletes to turn on and off the switch into media mode and to be politically correct with everything they say after a game. The media expects too much of these athletes in that regard, because sometimes you're just in the moment. You're playing the game. You're speaking off emotion. Emotion is what makes sports great. That's the essence of sports. If you take away that, sports become fake. And that moment right there was golden because it was true.
Sure, it was real. The emotions were there. It was all the energy, all that excitement. But do you know the past history to this Richard Sherman guy?
Oh, yes. And that's another thing I want to bring on. Real quick, Aaron, what is your take, Aaron, on this?
Well, all right. Well, I'm going to give a different perspective, which is from the fan perspective. So bear with me if at times I seem because I think this is a topic that you can take multiple angles from. Mm-hmm. So from a fan perspective, there's two things. We're either A, in the seats at the stadium, or we're at the couch, we're at the bar. You know what we're doing at the stadium or at the bar or at the couch? We're yelling at our TV. We're yelling at the players, why aren't they making that play? Or, hey, that guy sucks because he's not making this. What a terrible throw Stafford just threw. Heck, you've said it multiple times. I've said it. Alex has said it. The people sitting behind me have probably said it. We, as fans, can yell all we want, tell people that they are terrible, tell someone they are great, but the second that the people that who have worked really, really hard to earn what they are doing, getting paid millions to do what they do, we tell them, hey, no, you can't show any emotion, but we can as fans 24/7 during the game.
Right.
That makes absolutely no sense to me at all. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and say it right now, and I don't care, frankly. I think all of us are a bunch of hypocrites for thinking that we can go ahead and yell at the TV and yell at them, tell them that they aren't any good.
And expect them not to do it.
And expect them not to do it. Literally, a couple minutes afterwards, they expect him just to be super calm. Hey, how about that job, maybe new job you just got? I bet you if I went inside your house after you just got accepted to get that job, or maybe when you go back into your car after an interview, you're probably screaming your head off that you're super excited. Right. But guess what? There's not a camera on you, so no one actually sees it, so that's fine. But I understand. I also understand, as athletes, you get the spotlight. That's how it is nowadays. Maybe back 30 years ago, that wasn't the case. They got 10, 20, 30 minutes after a game, they would have an interview. Mm-hmm. Today's world, I get that. Cameras are on you, so you got to be a little more conscious than normal. However, again, it's the context. But also, at the same point, we as fans, we get to do what we want to, and we can yell, we can do whatever we want. But the second that they show a little bit of emotion, they get yelled at. No one criticizes us for showing emotion. I mean,
right? I totally agree.
To me, that just seems completely wrong. That we expect them to not show any emotion.
Right.
Sure, was he a little loud? Yeah, maybe. But you know what? I think your point is right on. He was real. He was human. We all are.
Exactly.
At certain points in our lives, we're gonna say things that maybe, you know, are a little bit more emotional. But do we regret all those times? No, not exactly. I think all of us could say that, hey, at times I got heated, but you know what? I don't regret what I said because it felt right that I needed to say it. And again, Crabtree and him have been going at it for pretty much all – well, this
all
started
season.
Actually before the season.
Before even, the season started.
Season even at some charity event or something that
right.
we mentioned yesterday. So
right.
I think fans just sort of need to step back for a second. Hey – you know, I'm actually kind of like Sherman in a little bit of a way that, you know, I saw the fans at the Seattle game
right.
pounding on the side of the, you know, the
yeah,
you know,
they were rowdy. Yeah.
They were rowdy. I mean, they're the loudest fans, you know.
The 12th man, baby.
They get the yell.
They're almost as crazy as our 12th man in the current sports studio.
That's right. So that's my perspective. And that's what I think.
I totally.
Aaron was some passion in there. I
feel him. That's he was. You know, he was almost that's Sherman-esque, if you will. You know what I mean? But I totally agree with him. You know, because you know we expect these athletes to the light switch. You know what I mean? After the game, okay, you got to be politically correct, calm yourself down, and do your interview. This is sports. This is supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be real. It's raw. I hate the criticism. And to go as far as to call this man a villain? So what? I mean, he called out Michael Crabtree. They've been talking back and forth for the entire season.
He's not liked.
How is he a villain?
He's not liked by people.
And I don't understand it. I don't get it. We have a tweet here from Scott Yashanis. He says, Al, one can be real and express emotion without being insulting. Be happy you won as opposed to happy that someone else lost. Scott, I totally disagree with you. He was being real and expressing emotion, but how in the world is he being insulting for calling out Michael Crabtree for making a big play to send his team to the Super Bowl?
Because
that makes
no
sense. How is that insulting?
Because it has nothing to do with him winning the game. If he went up there and was like, that's right, we did it, LOB, yes, great, no problem.
What does LOB mean?
I think it's the Seattle backfield. It's what they call the backfield. They're secondary. It's like the no-fly zone.
Legion of Boom.
Like
that's what it is.
Yeah,
Aaron, just let me know. Okay. All right. That was when I was confused about that.
Yeah,
all right.
But it's the same thing. That's fine. But why do you have to call out Crabtree?
Call him out, man.
Why?
Players used to do that back in the day all the time. You just heard Muhammad Ali? You heard Ali? What did you just heard? The greatest of all time calling out.
But that's why he's a villain. That's why he's a villain. It's because he's.
Ali is not looked at
Trent
as a villain.
Trent Williams almost punched him in the face. He golf clapped Roddy White. Come on.
Alex. Muhammad Ali used to call out his opponent before every fight. Now, you're talking about insulting. Ali used to insult.
Before every fight. You just enhanced my
so
point.
It doesn't matter if it's before or
it
after the fight.
It happens all the time.
It doesn't matter if before or after the game. Ali used to call Joe Frazier a monkey. If that's not insulting, I don't know what is.
Al, if you just hit the game-winning shot for Annapolis High School and you beat Detroit Country Day,
and if I had a rival,
and walk off the court, and someone asks you, describe that last play, are you going to go and be like, Amir Williams, that's right, don't ever talk about me again. Is that the first thing that comes to your mind?
If the game is that big and I'm in the moment and I just showed them up, hey, so what if I call you out? These are grown – this is another thing. These are grown men. Okay, let's be real here. These are grown men playing a sport. They're competitive. This is sports, whether you like it or not. I don't care who you are. I mean – You gotta, when you look at that moment, again, you look at that moment, It's the essence. Now look at it. It's the essence of sports. And if Richard Sherman was fake on TV, it would have been a fake moment. I wouldn't have bought into it. I mean, I don't know. That's just how I feel. We have a caller from all the way in Los Angeles. How you doing? Welcome to Current Sports.
What's going on, Al? How you doing?
Oh, that's Alex. What's going on, Alex?
Oh, man, nothing much. Nothing much. I just wanted to share my thoughts on this Richard Sherman thing. Man, I completely agree with you. The emotions are running high. There's nothing wrong with showing the emotion, you know, I mean, that comes with playing sports. But at the same time, like you said, it's one play that sealed the deal. I'd like to see him give his teammates a little more credit. That's the only thing I struggled with. I mean, they made the plays to get them to that point. So maybe just thank your teammates as well. That's the only thing I had the problem with. But you're absolutely right. The emotions are running high.
Sherman did that. I mean, in the apology that he issued, which I don't think he should have done that, and I still don't agree with the apology. But, I mean, he did that, you know, after he cooled down a little bit, thanked his teammates. But, I mean, in that moment, though, Alex, I mean, I don't blame the guy.
Oh, I completely agree with you. I mean, that just comes with playing sports. You know how the adrenaline is after the game and everything. But I just would have liked to see him show his teammates a little more love because, I mean, they would have never been in that position. He would have never been in that position to even make that play if it wasn't for his teammates getting them there. But my question for you, I wish you would have brought this up. The NFL is looking to take out replay. What are your thoughts on that? And I'll let you go on that note.
Are they? I did not know. Well, thanks a lot for the call, Alex. Sharg, did you know they're taking it out? I didn't know.
I remember that there have been discussions about it.
Taking it out completely?
Yeah.
I don't know the details, and I have to do some research.
Yeah,
I don't even know about that.
I don't know the exactly probably what Alex specifically knows about the new update on that, but I know there's discussions about all the different types of situations and all the different camera angles and whether that – which play should be reviewed and how the system works.
Right,
so
right.
We'll talk about that next show.
Yeah. Okay, but yeah, bottom line, though, I mean, the Richard Sherman post-game tirade, I think it's totally being blown out of context by the media. By the media, and I it really blew my mind. I thought, you know, yeah, you made it, you know, when it happened, I'm sitting like, okay, this will probably be a story for, you know, people might make fun of it, you know, and, you know, but people are really taking it serious. I'm like, dude, come on, man, this is sports. All right, really quickly, Alex, looking at the Wes Welker and Talib hit, as you know, Bill Belichick came out and issued a statement calling it the worst dirty hit he's ever seen in the game of football. Now, granted, he's a little biased because it's, you know, Talib is a big key to what the Patriots do. And I want to ask you, was the hit dirty?
Yeah, we talked about this a little bit. We're both in agreement that it was a dirty hit. Absolutely.
I mean, I think it was, too. I agree.
Yeah,
because if you look at it, he lowered his shoulder. It happened when the ball was in the air.
Yeah. But you're running a cross route. It's not like you can't see him. It's not like it's a blind hit, you know?
Right.
You see him right there running across the middle.
Right, but at the same time, I won't fault that one play on the Patriots losing that game.
Right.
Not at all. I mean, Peyton Manning was surgical. They were able to get pressure on Tom Brady. Tom Brady looked really out of sync. Their defense wasn't that great. You know, granted, you know, they haven't been great all season. But, hey, I definitely do not want to put that one play on the demise of the New England Patriots for that entire game. But, yeah, it was a dirty hit. It happens in football. Hey, let's move on. So, man, people just take things too personal nowadays, man. Oh, just brush it off, baby. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little Pistons. Pistons are definitely in a slump. In the Kobe whole finesse quote, you know, that he had that we alluded to with a loophole. Don't go anywhere. Current Sports returns in just a sec.
On the next Fresh Air, Joaquin Phoenix. He stars in the new film Her, which is nominated for an Oscar for Best Picture. We'll talk about his movies, his life, and his public image, like as an actor who hates to be interviewed.
I will make you another promise.
Okay.
I promise never to ever make you go through this again.
Actually, he's totally enjoyable in this interview. Join us.
That's Fresh Air, coming up at 3 o'clock. All right, welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Let's talk a little Pistons really quick. The Pistons fell to the Los Angeles Clippers yesterday. Rodney Stuckey led the Pistons with 29 points. DeAndre Jordan was unbelievable yesterday. He was jumping out the gym left and right. He had 16 points, 21 rebounds. And the Pistons right now, as of right now, looking at the standings, the Pistons are sitting at ninth. They are out of the playoffs. The playoffs will start today. They are currently out of the playoffs, folks. But we still have a long, long season to go. I mean, we still haven't hit the halfway mark with the All-Star break, which will be February 14th. Alex, are you still sticking with the Pistons making the playoffs?
Yeah. Well, the way the East is, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But here's what I noticed over this last weekend, Al, is from Trey Burke to Crawford, Michigan guys that come back to Detroit play very well. Mm-hmm. And for Crawford, a guy who's been a little inconsistent this year, when Michigan guys come to the Palace, I'm just going to count it as a loss from now on.
That's the stigma. That's the way it's going. Yeah.
So will the Pistons make the playoffs? Yeah, they'll squeeze in because it's the East, you know.
The East is horrid. That is just bad, bad. I hate watching the East unless it's like Indiana or Miami or Atlanta.
Can you remember an Eastern Conference that has been this week?
No, never. I think it may go down as the worst stint for the Eastern Conference in NBA history. That's what that's what the guys were talking about yesterday on NBA on TNT. I mean, they are so bad. I mean, if you look at it, right now, Indiana's 33-7 at the top of the East. Miami's 29-12. Then you go to Atlanta, who's 21-19, Toronto's 20-20. There's like a three-way tie for fourth in the East at 20-20 at 500. You put those teams in the West, none of those teams will be in the playoffs right now. It's right. Really, really sad to watch. But I tell you what, the Pistons, it's so frustrating to watch the Pistons nowadays because, you know, during the middle of the season, beginning to middle of the season so far, they look decent. Brandon Jennings seemed to be coming into his own, finding that combination of scoring and also getting his teammates involved. If you look at yesterday, because it was an afternoon game, the Pistons got nothing, absolutely nothing from their starting backcourt. Brandon Jennings went scoreless. He had zero. He had donut.
I've mentioned this to you.
What?
Welcome to Brandon Jennings at Milwaukee.
And the only other time he's done it was at Milwaukee. He's gone scoreless before, but it's been like 303 games, and that was.
Why do you think they were so happy to get rid of him? Milwaukee faithful were celebrating.
The Pistons just look lost right now. And KCP, he only has 6 points. So KCP had six. Brandon Jennings, a donut. Defense has looked. That's really been the Achilles heel for the Pistons all season that I've seen. That's been the study inconsistent is their defense. They allow way too many points in the paint. You saw DeAndre Jordan jumping through the gym left and right. I think they will make the playoffs because, like you said, it is the East. They're out the first round, though, I think.
Yeah, it's just so top-heavy. If they make it, they're going to play the Heat or the Pacers.
And I hate to say this, but, you know, right now, if I had to really put some blame on somebody, not only the players, but Mo Cheeks, without a doubt, because I would definitely put some blame on Mo Cheeks because the way they come out in games, they just seem too lackadaisical. And if you have, and Mo Cheeks is known in his history for being a guard guy. He knows how to mentor guards.
Right.
Your starting point guard has 0 points. Come on, son, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
I don't know. Well, the thing about Cheeks is, the Pistons have been through coach. It's been a coaching carousel.
It's been a fiasco.
And each year, the team goes out and does the exact same thing.
Discipline. It comes down to discipline. They lack discipline.
Well, I don't know how you can blame it on Mo. Al,
I'm putting it. It's all. It's, I put it on the players. I'm not putting it all on Mo. I said it's some of that has to be put on Mo because the way they come out in games, they look totally lost on offense. I mean, they don't run their sets. I mean, it's a fiasco right now. I see street ball out there sometimes. Guys just straight up one-on-one play, taking to the rim and shooting up just crap. Left and right. Stuckey does that all the time. That's how he shoots. He gets 29 points because he shoots 50 times.
Save the Stuckey for another day.
All right. No, he's Rodney Stuckey. All right. And Kobe, you know, let's really, really quickly hit on Kobe's comments. And he kind of backs up. You know, last week we had the whole debate about has sports become soft. And when we talked about basketball, you know me. I've been an advocate. And, you know, I've came out and said it, that sports – when you talk about basketball specifically, has become so soft. The way they call the game, the way, you know, today's flagrant foul would have been a regular foul back in the 90s or the 80s and so on and so forth. Kobe comes out and says, quote, it's more of a finesse game. And the question they posed to Kobe was, you know, does he watch the NBA? You know, with Kobe being injured, does he watch it a lot? And he says, no, it's more of a finesse game. It's more of small ball. He doesn't really care for it much. He likes the smash mouth old school basketball because that's what he grew up watching. And today's game is much less physical. This is exactly what I said, Alex. I mean, today's game nowadays has become, scoring has become so prevalent in today's NBA. And that's, I mean, we saw the other day, I forget what game it was. I mean, it was 127 to like 125, the final score. I believe it was the OKC game. Durant goes off. But, I mean, it's catered to superstars so much, specifically in the scoring realm of things, because they don't call any fouls anymore. You know what I mean? If they do call fouls, it's a flagrant.
They're going to call the armbar, though. They're going to call that.
I hate that. Well, that's in the college game nowadays.
Right,
but,
right.
I mean, but still, looking at today's NBA, it has become soft. It's hard to watch sometimes.
Yeah.
For me, it definitely is because, you know, going back, you know, I became a fan of basketball back in the 90s. You know, when Jordan was still prevalent, you know, and doing his thing, and it was still a physical game at that point. And to see what it has become now, it's kind of a turnoff. I don't know.
Well, would you classify Kobe as a guy that is in that realm?
Yeah, I mean, Kobe, if anybody to speak on this, if you're going to talk to a guy who can speak on this subject, I mean, Kobe was in that era when, you know, when he came out of high school and entered the league. I mean, Jordan was still playing to a degree, and the game was still physical. You know what I mean? The game,
right.
You know, guys, we used to knock – I mean, you remember the Sacramento Kings and L.A. Lakers rivalry.
Yeah,
that was a physical rivalry. You know what I mean? And, you know, they had their stints with the Indiana Pacers, with Reggie Miller and that whole thing. I mean, it was a physical game. And we saw at least – I haven't seen an NBA fight in a while.
No.
The NBA used to be known for its
fights.
There's
some stuff earlier this year. I remember a couple scuffles.
Yeah, little scuffles, but, yeah. Man, we used to see, like, all-out brawls back in the day. It's, like, gone now. Oh, goodness. All right. It's Tuesday. You also know that it means it's Top 5 Tuesday, folks. And, you know, speaking on the whole villain realm of things, we decided to do the Top 5 Villains in sports history. So, and you know what? We did something unique because we actually have some great students right here at Michigan State University who are now helping us on current sports. And, you know, we asked them to get their, you know, to input their, you know, opinion on this whole thing. And they had some pretty good ones, Alex. Just to go down, Craigslist right here. Craigslist. That's clever. All right. Chad Ochocinco, cocky, arrogant, flashy, so on and so forth. Hines Ward, Dennis Rodman, looking at some Caleb here, Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, Terrell Owens, some pretty good, Bill Laimbeer, some pretty interesting names. It's something that definitely made my list. What's your list look like?
I took one of the names from one of the lists. I put A-Rod in mine as number 5.
Definitely. He's definitely on my list.
Yeah, just line to the, you know, we don't gotta get into it. Number 4, I put Todd Bertuzzi. Just ending a guy's career, man. I mean, that's over the top for me.
I hear that.
I put Ndamukong Suh on there just because of a more recent guy.
And you do think he's dirty?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You can be biased, Al. You're from Detroit.
We've had that debate on here, too. All right, go ahead.
All right, number 2, I put Meta World Peace. And number 1, I put Bill Romanowski. The worst villain ever.
Okay, that's your number 1.
Number 1.
I mean, like that.
The guy spit on players.
Yeah, that's bad.
Maybe one other guy. Maybe in boxing, I don't know.
That's bad. I mean, you go on. An interesting one here that one of them had. Sierra said Reggie Miller.
I don't know. Would you put Reggie as a villain?
He was looked at during his playing days, I think, because if you remember the whole ESPN 30
the
for 30, the documentary
yeah,
with the whole Spike Lee.
Yeah.
I didn't know how much of a trash talker that Reggie Miller was.
Yeah, Reggie
he was a huge trash talker and the whole choke sign.
I put a list of villains who were intent for injury. You see what I'm saying? From Romanowski
to a physical realm.
Yeah, a villain is evil actions. Trash talking, that happens. Like that's why I wouldn't put anyone trash talking.
With the whole choke sign, though, all of New York hated him. You know what I mean? I define villains as, you know, the fan base that they don't like you. And LeBron James was like that.
What's your list, Al?
LeBron was on my list. I can't bring up my document, got erased somehow, but I had O.J. Simpson, so on my list. I'm trying to think here. Goodness, goodness, goodness.
You put OJ? Oh, okay.
OJ, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's in tons of harm.
If it doesn't fit, you must have quit. Goodness, who else did I have on my
list? Did you have T.O. on there?
A-Rod's on my list.
Okay.
T.O.'s not on my list. No, I had, did I say LeBron already? I think I said LeBron. But yeah, my list, I can't find it. But yeah, that's the essence of mine. But yeah, A-Rod right now is definitely, I think, the biggest villain in sports today.
Right.
Just because of what's going on with the whole steroid allegations. I mean, it's really messy. Yeah. All right, well, great show. I want to remind everyone out there that's listening, I will be sitting down with a man who I call the hardest working man
in
athletics. Yes, I will be. We will be down at Breslin, of course, covering MSU in Indiana. bringing you coverage of that. And also this Wednesday, I'll be sitting down with Mark Hollis, MSU Athletic Director. If you want to be a part of that live audience on Current Sports TV, Wednesday night at 6 p.m., sign up on WKAR.org. It's totally free. Come out and enjoy that and get to meet the man who I call the hardest working man in athletics. He's a great guy. All right, thanks so much to all of you for tuning in today's Current Sports. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing and WKAR FM HD3 East Lansing. As always, take care. Have one fantastic day. And be easy, people.